Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. This girl slid in my DMs and she said, I'm a fan of your mother's work.
Oh, this one was a train wreck, brother.
I messed this up. So this is the beginning of the episode.
We actually have a banner, guys.
Oh, now I'm sorry.
Guys, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. We appreciate you guys for watching this. Honestly, thank you. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button. We're all reconvened here in Los Angeles. We've been traveling everywhere. Got some good guests on our podcast this week. I could say, right? Shaq.
Well,
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Tony Robbins. We got done doing Tony Robbins in Florida. Massive guest. And then Oliver Tree, we're going to try to get on as well. So yeah, we're in Los Angeles, just getting some good content for you guys. And I've been traveling. I've been in South Africa. Do you know why I was there? Does anyone know actually why I was there? Mr. Beast is going to kill me. I'm just going to say.
You did this last time.
Oh my God.
Stop exposing his projects ahead of time.
And you it hasn't even happened yet.
Well, because it got pushed to November, bro. I'm not going to wait. I'm sorry, Jimmy,
He's never inviting you to another thing. <I know.
laughs> Guys, your secret are not safe.
Well, you can have a secret with him, but it has an expiration date. He'll keep it, but for a time being.
No. I'll just say this. We were going to go to the southernmost continent. I'm not going to say it. It's super fucking cold there to shoot a video. Antarctica.
Imagine him in the hood. Like the no rap. No, like you can't give people's information out. I'm not going to say all of it, but it's actually, these are the coordinates.
In Antarctica.
That's cold.
It's super cold there.
Did you pack nicely for that?
Yeah, I did, but guess what?
Logan didn't pack a thing.
A day before we were supposed to go there to shoot this video, me, Casey Neistat, Jimmy, Mr. Beast, 10 out of the 10 people on the fucking continent tested positive for COVID-19.
Ugh.
Are you kidding me? All of them? You know these people have to build a runway, right? And all these structures. A blue ice runway, it's called. Out of ice. They build it. And they're
every day?
They're like scientist expert people. And all of them tested positive for COVID. So we couldn't go because if we got it and someone had a negative reaction, there's no hospitals out there because it's fucking Antarctica. It's just surrounded by penguins. And so here we are, stuck in Cape Town, which turned out to be the best vacation of my life. I got to be honest. Mr. Beast, thank you for providing me with an amazing week. I had so much fun. I have a lot of stories. And poor Jimmy ended up getting sick and spending 3 days in a rural South African hospital where they didn't speak a lick of English by himself.
Shut up.
Got tonsillitis. Can't believe it.
You said they were checking on him for 10 minutes a day. That was it.
He said they gave him an allocated 20 seconds per day.
Oh, 20 seconds?
There was one doctor in the whole hospital who didn't speak English. And Jimmy was, my throat. And the doctor, shines his light in. He's like, yeah, just nods at him, right?
Your leg. No, nope.
It's your leg. It needs to be amputated, sir. Nah, so the poor kid just paid for a vacation to South Africa for me.
Well, God knows he's got the money. It looked like it was awesome, though. What was the highlight?
The highlight was this, because I've heard great things about Cape Town, and it is honestly magical.
Are you saying K-Town or Cake Town?
Both. And also, are you a fucking moron?
I don't know. I've never heard of this place.
George.
Am I getting in trouble for this?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. It's not trouble. I think, yeah.
Well, I'm.
Did you pay attention at all?
No. Did you not pay attention to my school stories?
He doesn't pay attention.
He has dyslexia.
I do, too. Doesn't mean that you don't know geography.
hey, that's so funny. That just more made it my valid point.
No. It's Cape Town, dude.
Like Cape?
Cape Town.
So everybody wears capes.
Sure, George.
Where is this place located? Is this
South Africa? You haven't been listening.
So not Antarctica.
I fucked this shit.
No, sorry. You're right. South Africa was a pit stop to get to Antarctica. I should have said that. We were going to quarantine there for 2 days. The trip got canceled. Here we are in South Africa. First off, the people are incredible. They're incredible. I love South Africans. They're amazing.
You said the girls there all love eating ass. sorry, was that supposed to be one of those ones?
I know you wanted to continue with your story, but I'd rather hear that story.
I'm just here to give you these, bro. It's just to strike them home, bro.
Not all of them, but there's one in particular. She was a chain smoker, too, and maybe those things go hand in hand.
She was a DJ? She like, wicka, wicka, wicka.
No, it's, I don't know. It was odd.
Cigarettes are the most disgusting thing on planet Earth. And this is coming from, I know I don't have to remind the audience, a fucking crackhead. Cigarettes are so disgusting. Bro, we landed back at LAX from the Tony Robbins trip.
Yep.
And there was some lady outside with her two young children with her, just smoking these fucking Newports outside the door, and the smoke was pouring back in the doors of the baggage airport claim area, and it just gave me a headache. I felt, you feel dirty.
Yeah.
When someone around you smokes a cigarette, you feel dirty.
It's like residue in the air that like leaks into your skin. The problem was this. I'm just gonna say it. You know, what will you put up with when you're trying to fuck?
Oh,
a chain,
God,
a gas-eating chain smoker is what I would
put up with. A chainsaw. I'll do whatever it takes. It depends how long I was deprived of women.
Low-key. You know, I'm in South Africa. You know, I've been on a good streak, focused, and maybe I'm a little fucked up at a club one night.
Speaking of meeting girls, David met a girl on the Citizen app. Is everyone here aware of what the Citizen app is?
I know it.
Isn't that the crime?
I know it.
Correct. It's an app where you can track crime in your neighborhood.
Prostitute three blocks away.
but David's brain works in a very mysterious and interesting way. But he had a real, very smart, educated moment when he thought to himself, wow, the majority of people who are interested in a barricaded man near the heirloom cafe that we eat at are in the close proximity of my home.
And they need to be protected.
Yeah, so one of the girl's names was like Burbank Girl, 52, and you know what sorry. It was her, she made the mistake of using her full name on the Citizen app. So she's commenting on the chat saying, man, fuck this barricaded man. Now I won't be able to get soup tomorrow. I don't know why she talks like a garbage man, but he goes to Instagram, looks her up on Instagram, and he texts me. He goes, hey, Mike, Marie Callender, whatever her name is super fucking hot, and she's bringing her dog over to play with my dog tomorrow.
Logan's dog.
You invited her to your home?
Dude, in the same way that you leave one-star negative Yelp reviews, this girl's an active citizen commenter? That's amazing. That's amazing. Dude, there's so many different ways to meet girls. I have a funny one. This girl slid in my DMs, and she said, I'm a fan of your mother's work.
Oh, this one was a fucking train wreck, brother.
I messed this up.
Oh, you fucked this one up dramatically.
She was cute, too. Cutie. And, you know, I was on, like, my, like, anti-woman kind of. Yeah, so this was my first. I was going to show her the business. I don't care how hot you are. I don't care you're sliding my DMs. Also, what does that mean? Because my mom's a content creator. Like, are you in the family?
Pamster?
I cannot believe that was where your brain immediately went.
I thought she was, like, subscribed to my mom's vlog channel. Like, I'm a fan of your mother's work.
Always so literal.
He sends me the screenshots directly. He sends them to me, and he goes, dude, what the fuck is with this girl? Well, like, why did she say this shit? You know, and I thought to myself, I know this kid. He's a walking brain. There's no way he missed this cue.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to say to him, yo, you know, you're your mother's work, right? Like, that's what, so I didn't say anything to him.
See, Dave's having the connection right now. It was like, my mom produced me. I'm the work.
Of course.
She's a fan.
Yeah, of you.
So he puts. That's her pickup. Oh, are you going to explain this part?
I can say it.
He puts
We're all saying this, but it's actually Jake Paul the whole time. So I'm like, dude, you got to introduce me because That's phenomenal.
That was amazing.
He drops the girl into a group chat with Pam.
With no context?
And no, with context.
What was
and
the context?
And says, hey, this girl's a huge fan of your work. Thinking she's still talking about the fucking her stupid fucking blockchain.
This is not happening.
George, best part of the whole story. Pam, I'm on the elliptical the next day because I got a bum ankle. I can't run on the treadmill. Still using the elliptical. I got a text message. He goes, bro, I'm my mom's work. I just figured out. I go, yeah, you dumbass. I could have fucking told you that 48 hours ago, but I didn't want to insult your intelligence. I thought you knew that.
Nah. It's so weird how your brain works.
I don't know what happened.
Sometimes
just
I feel like
cue.
You're an octopus with like 8 brains, and then sometimes I'm like, wow, this guy really just... Bro, you group chatted a girl trying to smash you. With your mother. What the fuck was her reaction to that shit? Like, she's like, did he just group chat me with his mother?
Well, I'll tell you right now. She said...
Hilarious.
She said, yes, well done. Definitely a piece you could nail against the wall.
Oh,
wow.
Not in your mom's group chat.
Yes.
Yeah. And then my mom said, thanks so much. I try my best to eat right, take my vitamins, and exercise to produce the best specimen possible. I think it worked. And then I said, heart you, ma. And thank you, girl's name. You can nail me against the wall anytime.
Did she?
I know that deserved crickets, but I will always give him applause because I'm Logan Paul's
friend.
Wait.
Well, I thought that was good.
That was a good story, but it's like one of those good stories that you're like, I wish I heard it from like a third person, like somebody I didn't know. Like,
oh my god.
Oh, I felt like
no. Did she end up beating your ass?
No. Nothing happened of that, but you know, sometimes I panic, dude. I don't know. I'm bad at hitting on girls. It's hard.
Girl,
I have an airport story.
There's no
you don't
shot.
Say.
There's no shot.
I swear, and it's very short, not real. I'm just gonna throw it in there because I'm starting to love my fucking airport stories now. And I recorded it. I'm starting to record all of them just because I have to start documenting shit. Me and Reed are going to meet you guys from the airport, middle of the night, because I'm taking a red eye because you guys are already there. And just get there, alarm starts blaring. I'm like, oh, that's terrifying. And everybody's like, nobody move. Everybody stand still. We're not at the TSA yet. We're like still far away from the TSA. So I'm like, yo, that's a little sketch. Frozen. Luckily, there was an employee right next to me. Unluckily, it was the dumbest one that they had on the clock. So it turns out, I'm like, what's happening? She goes, oh, it's either a drill or not a drill. And I go, well, I need you to fucking find out. Like now. Because I'm like right next to the door. So I'm like, yo, if I hear walla what and I'm out, I'm like fucking gone. So I'm like, yo, like, could you radio somebody? Let them know. I'm like, I'm right next to the Uber drop off. I still have time. She's like, no, don't move. I go, what happens if I move? She goes, the cameras. And she looks up. She goes, the cameras, they're going to be on you. I go, sweetheart, I'm Middle Eastern. I hopped out the cab. They're already focused on me. I go, can I move then? Dude, for 30 minutes, we're frozen. Finally, I get through, barely making it to my flight. I get through, and I'm like, oh, I have 2 minutes. Let me just grab a water bottle real quick. They run another drill on this side of the wing. So now I'm like, oh, I'm going to miss my flight.
They can just do that? They can just run airport drills?
Two people miss their flights.
How can they just tell you to freeze in
so
place?
So, Georgie, what was it? I'm on
two
pins
people
and
out of the whole
nobody,
airport?
They didn't tell us.
Oh, so there's just no outcome to the story.
No, the outcome was I almost missed my flight.
So you got drilled at the airport.
Yes.
Got it.
Logan got drilled to a wall.
I thought that was a good close.
Honestly, I've had so many airport stories. They can't all be great ones.
No, that was a good one. Fuck that for a second, though. Oh, my God, dude. SeatGeek is so great.
We'll lead with that. Today's video is sponsored by SeatGeek. Live events are finally back. We're pumped. It's football, it's basketball, baseball, concerts, MMA, festivals. SeatGeek, as you know, puts tickets from all over the web in one place to make buying simple. It is the absolute best place to buy tickets. I got the app on my phone at Coachella soon, so it might be a good idea to start searching for the tickets right here in the app. They rate every ticket from 0 to 10 to make sure you're getting a good deal. Green means good. Red means bad. I got a hookup for you. Use code LOGAN for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That's $20 off your first purchase with the promo code LOGAN. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app. Back to the program. Thank you, SeatGeek.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Speaking of DMs from girls. A girl DM'd me the other day to let us know, to let me know, that at one point she was a big fan of me, read the book, watched The Night Shift. But lately, she doesn't like the fact that we've been slut-shaming women on this show. And I said, can you please give me an instance of myself, because you directed this message at me, slut-shaming women. She sent a clip of me saying that a girl we were talking about had to go to blowjob rehab. I said, that's a joke, lady. That's not like, I don't think people should go to blowjob rehab.
I actually said it too.
You did?
Yeah, I said, if she needs help, she should go to somebody.
She goes, okay, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. You've never slut-shamed a single woman on your platform.
Oh, she's like that?
I said, ma'am, I sense a tinge of sarcasm, but we're all good. And then I go, rest assured, I love sluts more than anyone. How could anyone ever try to call me a slut shamer? She said, well, you need to do a better fucking job of showing it. That was her actual feedback.
So what do you say to her?
I don't know.
Shout out to all the sluts out there.
Did we slut shame recently?
I don't know if outlining a situation that happened in real life and then gathering some takeaways about it is slut shaming.
Right.
Go suck the dicks. I always preface with that.
You did say that on that show.
I say every show, damn near. There's nothing wrong with sucking some dick. So go for it. But unfortunately, I'm going to stay away from you.
Or not.
Fucking slut.
Fucking slut.
What are you talking about? A poor job staying
Wait,
away.
Wait, you're going to stay away? She's like, but if she's eating ass, I'm in there.
With cigarettes.
No.
Speaking of sucking dick.
No way you have a fucking.
Oh, I always have a fucking, dude. Speaking of sucking dick, me and Logan went on the BFFs podcast last night.
Oh, my God. It was live.
You would have died.
It was live. So Dave Portnoy invited us to do a live show at Saddle Ranch with a live audience, and it was going great. I woke up basically from a nap. We went there.
It was the first time I heard about this.
Yeah, big audience there watching.
It's the first time we heard about it too.
Us converse live, and you know, things were going great, or so I thought, because I looked to my left and I had to do a double take because Mikey just drenched in soak. Back to episode one of Impulsive Man. Boy's sweating through every pore in his face. Looks like a fire hydrant just hit him.
Is it because it was live?
His joke or line to bring up was, how about those crack pipes?
I wanted to talk about the government. about the government crack pipes.
But
is that why you started sweating?
But he didn't say
it didn't
government.
It didn't land properly.
He didn't speak properly.
No, that's not true.
You said, how about those crack
government,
pipes?
Government crack pipes. Because I guarantee you that the majority of people watching the Impulsive podcast know what I'm talking. It was a big story on Twitter.
I agree.
The U.S. government wants to start giving out clean crack pipes
Portnoy,
to people.
The whole audience watching. Everyone's like, wait.
Play the crickets.
And like this.
Who's that guy?
And I'm sitting there, and so as soon as it happened, and by the way, now to add on to that, this motherfucker came in swinging.
I don't know why.
He was on an attack like I'd never seen before. Called the nice, sweet Brianna girl Olivia O'Brien.
Who?
How do you say that? We just sat down.
You said this on a live?
No. What was it again?
Whitney Cummings.
Oh, Whitney Cummings.
I don't know why I said that. I'm so sorry, Bree. I also,
Logan, we can't be putting down our retailers.
I know. That's the other thing. Like, it's the best. I love it. Primes and all across the country.
Yeah.
But that's why afterwards I was like, damn, I just like hurt a poor girl's feelings and like insulted our retailer. What? What's wrong with me? Sometimes I get in these moods.
The comments were, we were getting thrashed in the comments. But the reason I bring it up is because.
Oh God, I wasn't there.
Yeah, it was bad.
Bro, it was bad. But
George
the reason.
Saved his career.
The reason I bring it up is because, guys, I've been having a rough time the past few days. I really have been. I've been having just a back in this, like, kind of anxious state. And I like, not to get too serious for a second here on this beautiful boys only episode, but, like, the most frustrating thing for me about the diseases of the mind is the unpredictability. Mm. There's no way for me to track, like, yo, why is it this week that I can't do a podcast? Why is it this week that I can't sit with my best friend and talk about shit on a show without dealing with this shit? And it's like, I try to have these conversations with people over the past few days, even before that, because I felt it like firing back up again. And it's so hard to talk to people that don't deal with the same issues and to explain that this podcast, the night shift, the books, all that stuff, this is my second job. This is my second job. This is a job I get to do on days when my first job allows me to. And my first job is just being okay enough to even get to the second job. You know what I'm saying? And like, last night was just a moment where I had to realize that I've just been doing a really shitty job of like prioritizing my mental health lately, bro. You know? Mm. And there's a lot of power in breakdowns, bro. There's a lot of power in them because they're moments of awareness for yourself where you can realize that you need to be doing a better job, you know? And so like, you know, the comments were like really happy to acknowledge that I took everything in stride and like laughed about it. But it was just an important moment for me to really, you know, recognize that I need to be doing a better job. And like focusing on real fit.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Boxes, not Band-Aids.
You're right. A. B. I think prioritizing both mental and physical health is a top priority and should be in everyone's lives. As your friend, and this is the kind of odd dichotomy to understand with mental illness, and I'm sure the audience can agree with this. Mike, you're such a jovial, fun person. And as someone who doesn't suffer from the same diseases, if you will, it's really hard for me to fully understand. You don't even understand. And so for me, when I see you sweating, I'm like, he's joking. Like, he's fine, right? Like he's definitely
doing it on
okay.
purpose to make me laugh.
Yeah, no, like it's
or it's just happening.
Or it's like, he's just sweating. To me, he's just sweating and it's funny. To him, he's on a full mental breakdown.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me because, you know, I never ever want to hurt my friend. He's a professional. He's so happy. And at the same time, I don't understand even a sliver of the amount of demons that are going through his head. But I want to, you know, and as I continue to grow and like understand he and you continue to be more vocal about it because you're probably the closest person to me who goes through this shit, and I've always been a bit ignorant to it.
I wouldn't say ignorant. It's just like I said, it's just really hard to put these kind of things in terms that other people would ever understand. They're like, you know, my mom will always say to me, like, you need more rest. You need to get more. And by the way, she's probably right to an extent. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? but like, you know, like I'll talk to people and they're like, oh, you know, I'm having I had a bad day the other day too. You know, I got an argument with a roommate, you know, or the flight was stressful for me because I don't like flying. And I'm like, you know, it's hard to make someone understand what it feels like to battle all day, bro, every day. You know what I'm saying? And to feel that weight. And it's just another frustration point for me that we've made so much advances in science and so many advances in fucking space travel, computing, quantum physics, like everything, and still mental illness just continues to be a dartboard, bro, where people are just like, yo, maybe it's this. Mm. Maybe it's this.
Well, the brain
maybe
is,
it's this.
The brain is the most
undiscovered. Correct. Yeah. Even less than space.
I'm not gonna sit here and even pretend that I could even be in your shoes for me to like paint out a visual. But all I know is this. I know you very well. And I understand why God, out of any person, would have to handle it is somebody like you to handle it. So my thing is, I know that you're dealing with it, but bro, you're here with such a beautiful mission that 10 years ago when you were going through even your darkest stages or however long it was, you probably needed somebody like you that could be on a podcast and be like, yo, bro, like, you know what? I got to keep it real with you guys. It's really hard. A lot of Hollywood back in the day was like editing the real and the raw. And you're actually showing up to work when somebody's listening to this on their way to work, being like, fuck, all right, I wanted to fucking just cry and not go to work. But if this guy has the balls to say this in front of the whole world, then I could at least check into my job tonight. I can make it one more day. So I know it's really hard to keep your mind focused on the positive things when you're in the most deepest rut you could possibly be in. Just know you're holding the weight that God wants you to hold. And I know that. And I know it sounds crazy for me to say that, bro. But I know you could get out of this, and I know you could lead tons of people out of this.
He knows all that.
No, I know that, but sometimes
it's good to remind you. No, no, no. That means a lot. That does mean a lot.
This is where I'm like, okay, does saying stuff like that help you?
The way that he framed it, and also just because, like, but honestly, like, the thing about it with men particularly, and mental illness, and this is a huge problem, is that men historically don't want to burden other people with their problems
or be vulnerable.
And they see it as a sign of weakness and a sign of lack of confidence. And honestly, like, that's why the high majority of suicides and mental health illnesses that go undiagnosed or untreated are men, mm-hmm. because they're bred to be fucking warriors, alphas, providers. You know what I'm saying? The strongest businessmen, the strongest this, the strongest that. And they don't, They are trained not to expose and not to show their cards and to be vulnerable and talk about the things that are bothering them. And then you end up with situations like Bourdain. You end up with situations like Robin Williams. You end up with situations where beautiful, talented, productive, appreciated people don't get the fucking help they need because they are too proud or too egotistical or too male to fucking talk about the problems. And so, like, yes, that does help. Hearing George talk about it,
the mind is the sharpest weapon a human could hold. True. So imagine your own weapon against you. So, like, I get it, bro. The one weapon that you're going to use against your enemies and your allies is not working against you before you can make a move. I could see that being paralyzing. It could be. But what I'm saying is, I hear you, and as a friend, and I hope I don't cross the line with this, I hear you when you talk about it. I want to listen and hear you. But what I don't want to hear is that you, and I'm being real, as a joke, you talk about, like, oh, it's like I'm having a really bad day, and you say it so many times, I'm scared that you're kind of speaking it bringing it into your life. I don't mind hearing you talk about it, but if we're going to talk about it, I want to solve it. I want to figure out something to overcome it.
It's not always solvable.
But it's okay to just realize the problem, but let's not stick and focus on it.
I have a rebuttal, because I was actually going to say the opposite of that, sort of.
Okay.
The one thing that helped me when I did have a week of, like, the worst mental period of my life.
A month? 2 months?
Yeah. It was odd and unfamiliar to me because it had never happened before. And it was the first time I got to wear the shoes. But I was really fucking vocal about it. As you know.
Should be vocal about it.
It helped me to just speak how I was feeling, even though it was bad. And, like, I understand, don't speak it into existence, and you're going to get stuck in that space because you're kind of manifesting this negative energy. Yeah, but, like, to me, not holding it inside, I'm like, guys, I'm fucking sad right now. Like, I'm sad. I'm not. This is an example. Like, I have no problem saying that repeatedly throughout the day because I'm fucking sad. Like, I think people maybe should be a little more honest with themselves and the people around them as a potential first step. Maybe.
No. Hold on a second. Logan's 100% right. Like, and George, I think you're right where it's don't ever find yourself manifesting bad days in the future.
True.
But the reason why he's right is because that's step one. That's got to be step one. Yo, and you know this. I'm not saying you don't know this. But yo, if you're having a bad day, if you're having a rough time, if you're feeling sad, talk to your people.
Say it, yeah.
Lean on your people and always understand that the biggest blessing that you have in your life is your fucking people. Mm. Because there are a lot of people out there that have no one. They have no one at all, and they're under a fucking bridge, or they're just out of the military, or their spouse has died and they have no one to talk to. So always, always appreciate the blessing that is the people that you have to lean on. It's the most important thing that you will ever be given in your life.
It's also on us,
yeah,
three,
yeah,
who know he goes through this to check in with him and say, yo, how are you doing?
Yeah, and also not cross the line with jokes.
We always are working. We're always doing something. We're always joking around. We're always blah, blah. But really, like, hey, how are you?
Check
that
in with
simple
your friends,
thing all of a sudden is like, hey, it forces him to talk.
Well, you remember Kevin Hines?
I was going to bring up Kevin Hines.
He said all he wanted was somebody to ask him, hey, how are you today? And put their hand on his shoulder.
How hard is that for us to do?
It's so funny that I feel like sometimes in life we just skip the things that are so easy and more common. Like the little things are starting to dissipate now. I'm starting to realize that, like, common sense is no longer common anymore.
Right.
It's really.
Well, we also spend so much time working at such a high level on such insane projects, and, you know, this kid's taking over the fucking planet literally, and, you know, you are, and we're all building this beautiful ship, that sometimes you have to take a step back and remember what actually matters on this planet. You know what I'm saying? Your happiness, the happiness of your friends, your mental health, talking to your family, talking to your people. Like, just make sure that that's for all of us to remember. Let's always make sure that that's our priority, is making sure that this fucking squad is good, yo.
I was happy for you when you went on your vacation, and then you text me and you're like, I'm going to go back. And I'm like, what are you going back to? Like, you're in this beautiful place in the Montage down in Laguna Beach. Yeah. He was like, he stayed for one night, less than 8 hours. He like slept there basically.
Because I was working on
me,
the
and he's like, I'm going to come back to LA and I'm going to go see David and Broly in this Citizen app. I'm like, what are you doing? Still, you need those. 100%. You need those mental breaks where Mike was like, and you got to remember them. Turn off the phone or just put it away for a second.
Have you not signed up for the Barstool Sportsbook yet? New players can sign up with my exclusive promo code LOGAN1000 and get their first bet 100% risk-free up to $1,000. Make your first deposit today, and if your first bet loses, get an equal free bet up to $1,000 in sportsbook bonus cash. Additional terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. Must be physically present in, this is my favorite part, Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or Virginia to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789. Back to the program.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Segue. Perfect segue.
But before we segue, is there anything else we could do as friends? Like, is there some steps that we
miss? The way, I'm good. I'm good.
No, but just for anybody else. Yeah,
by the way, I just told you I'm not good now.
No. But I am. I'll let you guys know if there's ever like a time when like we need to like go on a trip somewhere so I could have a week.
No, but I'm just saying over like an example.
Let the man fucking segue.
I don't want you to fucking segue. I want you to stay here. Turn the segue off. Take a pop.
You're manifesting into something that we don't want.
Okay, do you want me to focus on it?
You're going to like this next one. Mental health, substance abuse, euphoria. Oh! Wow!
Yes!
The world has been taken by storm once again by a television show. And I feel weird to be a
Netflix television show.
No, HBO Max. I feel weird to be a 37-year-old man live tweeting about Zendaya on Sunday nights, but god dang, we got something here, boys.
Yeah. That's a great show. That's a really fucking great show. That's the best show ever, maybe.
One of the greatest shows for me.
Cool.
Like, bro, I was around for Sopranos. I was around for The Wire. I was around for Boardwalk Empire. I was around for True Blood. I was around for all of the FX, The Shield, Sons of Anarchy. The way that Sam Levinson tells the story of this girl, and more so the characters around her, the way it is so artfully fucking shot.
It is a masterpiece.
Damn
near every single shot has intent, taste. Every fucking frame tells a story. Sam Levinson is the real MVP, the guy who 100%. Created, wrote, and directed it. I don't know how a product like that can live in someone's brain. Boggles my mind.
And
then perfectly manifest it in Euphoria and the superstar cast, like even the casting director, like good on that person. The cast is incredible. Some of these actors and actresses have never acted before. This is the first time. I think that kid Jacob Elordi has never acted before.
Right, right, right.
How can you be that good and not knowing?
Is it him or is it Fezco? Speaking of incredible actors and actresses on the show, that's dang Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney Sweeney.
She's quite the actress, man. She really, really can act. And what do you think, Logan?
You know what I think, Mike. What do you want from me, bro? She affects me. She fucking affects me, bro. I said it.
There's another show that she was in too. Have you seen that show?
I want to. Now that
you
said
should
it.
You should watch. You should watch
Sydney.
It.
Sydney.
Just one name, not the last. Just
he figures she's the most famous.
Oh, yeah. That's been Logan's thought on it too.
Oh my God.
Yo, Sweeney.
Talked to her?
Yo, Sweeney. If you're watching this episode of Impulsive,
no, she's definitely not.
Damn, Sweeney.
Hit my boy up. Long time boyfriend.
That's, hey, Sweeney. That's the thing. That's the
you
thing.
You want a long time boyfriend or you want a fucking boxing podcast?
She don't want me.
Fuck.
Imagine she reaches out and she's like, Mike, I like you.
I read
Mike,
your book.
Mike, I read your book. No, you know what the issue is? So I gotta convince myself that the character is not the person. Like, that's all. I have this thing with actors and the characters, and I start I like the character a lot, her character Cassie, and she plays it so well, but off camera, not on set, bro, the girl's incredible. She's incredible. You know, she's like been fixing a Bronco, like a Ford Bronco, like by hand in her garage.
You love that.
She's like working with her hands. She's fucking smart. What?
No, it's what? Fucking Kevin, bro. He's such an immature kid. What?
Is that funny?
He was
to you,
right
Kevin?
In the middle of something.
Is a girl doing hard manual labor funny to you, Kevin?
Sure, bro.
That's why we call him Young Kevo.
Young Kevo. Nah, bro.
There's no way we're not bringing up the sheer like talent that this girl has, bro. Like,
no, I think she. The whole cast is so fucking talented.
Bro. That was the episode that I watched, and she blew me the fuck.
Oh, she is incredible.
Oh,
well, that's the
bro.
Other thing. I think I'm innately attracted to like talent, and apparently she's got a business degree. And when she was like, I saw this TikTok when she was like 6 or like 5 years old, or maybe 10 years old. She was in a young age. she made like a 5-year plan to pitch to her parents about how she was going to become an actress. She's super goal oriented. I think she even like trains in combat sports. Dude.
I watched this TikTok.
Yes.
It has like a business degree.
I watched this TikTok with you. Is there a chance it's fake news? Like, what do we know?
Is there a chance
days?
She fucking sucks?
She pitched her parents at 6 years old. Why she's going to be an actress?
No, she didn't.
What's going on?
Hard because she's like in Krav Maga and shit. She's like, come here, I'll snap your neck right now.
Nah. It's hard. I'm not kidding, dog. The show is... This is fucking pathetic. But I know people feel like this about Jacob, the kid Nate. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to watch sometimes because I'm just sitting like this. She affects me.
You're swooning over Sweeney.
I'm swooning over Sweeney.
I thought that's why you said that.
And by the way, so are millions of men. That's why I'm just another fucking simp, dude. Fucking whatever. Yo, toss me that back, bro. We need it. We need it for continuity.
My thing's. Is
I love you so much. I love you so much.
But bro, to the point. I mean, the biggest thing, the fucking music.
Oh, whoever I thought you were about to say Zendaya.
She's massive, but like whoever is doing the score for that show.
Drake.
Drake is an executive producer on it.
Yeah.
Zendaya is a producer on it. But like, dude, the music is incredible.
Well, I would assume he's the one foreseeing it.
I promise you it's not Drake. He's an executive producer. He's probably got money involved. I understand he's involved with the project, but whoever's choosing the music for that show is crushing it. But the subject matter is what is under scrutiny right now and under a microscope, and people are questioning whether the show goes too What are we doing? We texting? We look.
No, I have to amend my statement. He is an Australian actor, but it says he was basically homeless before this show. So it was a breakout role for him.
Got
where
it.
An extremely talented person was discovered and now is, you know, going to be set for the rest of his life, which makes me happy. Sorry, go ahead.
The story of Fezco is crazy too. The backstory, but Levinson has a past with addiction and substance abuse and all these issues. And, you know, I've heard from some people that Rue is basically Levinson incarnate as a character in the show. Okay. I don't know if that's true or not, but the subject matter is under scrutiny right now by activism groups, by DARE, by parents, by people who do and don't watch the show. And the question has become, you know, does this show glorify or make drugs seem cool, because these kids are seeing their favorite actors and actresses using drugs.
It's a very heavy show. For those of you who do not know what the show is, it's a very, very heavy, sexually forward, kind of R-rated show about drugs, alcohol, underage drinking, pedophilia.
In a high school setting, yeah, a coming of age story for Rue and her friends. And it's mind blowing. I mean, the attention to detail that Sam has put into the show is crazy.
I read in your book, Mike, you guys lost and you started to get your addiction because you didn't know what the addiction was, and like nobody taught you.
Correct.
They just said don't do drugs.
Correct.
So could this possibly be a place where people look at it and go, this is fucked up. I'm not going there.
100%.
That's my takeaway as well.
100%.
But there will be some that venture into the other side.
I hear the glorifying angle, but what's scary about drugs is the unknown. You don't do drugs knowing you're gonna have a fucking overdose and potentially die and scare your whole family. But what happens when you see that at a young age? How can you watch Euphoria afterwards and go, yeah, I'm gonna do drugs,
I'm gonna give that a shot?
What? You're seeing the real life repercussions happen.
But that's you and also me. That's the same feeling that I would have. Yeah. But there are others that unfortunately probably
don't.
For sure,
and those opinions are all completely valid. The qualm and issue that I have with the other way of thinking is, okay, so say we don't do Euphoria and we go with what we've been doing. The opiate epidemic is the number one killer of people in this country. Jeff. Number one, dog.
Yeah.
It wasn't a few years ago.
It's crazy.
It wasn't. Number one killer of 18 to 34s in this fucking country. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of American lives. Brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. And they want us to say, no, we're not going to try this because it's too traumatic. It's too stressful. It's too glorifying, so we're gonna go back to the cartoon characters on there. That shit ain't working, dog.
I find it fascinating that when we have one show how scary it could be dabbling with this type of things, but we have fucking Wolf of Wall Street, we have all these sick movies that are like, yeah, it's so fucking cool, look how many models I fuck, look how much money I make, it's fuck, and they don't have a problem with that at all.
Well,
but they have a problem with this.
Do. Well, they probably do. It's just not as loud of a voice.
Well, he had his downfall too. It was comical. When you look, and I don't want to give any spoilers away for people who haven't watched the show yet, because I know there's some of you out there. When you look at what this girl is going through and what the other people in her circle are going through as a result of her use, there ain't nothing pretty about it, dude. And honestly, you just flew through season one. You're on episode two of season two now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Season one was light work compared to season two, bro. If you come out of season two, especially episode five, which aired about a week before this episode airs, I believe, if you come out of that saying, dude, I want to give drugs a try, you got an issue.
What about for the people that have already done drugs that are clean like you?
So that's me.
Right? Or friends that you know?
Horrible, bro. Horrible. And honestly, like Georgie said it to me today, I'm not so sure that it's not a contributing factor to what's been going on with me lately.
I said it to
him.
Probably.
It is.
Oh, watching.
Bro.
Probably.
Bro, it is.
Well, you're programming it, bro. You're literally watching. You're reliving it. So it makes sense to me you have anxiety. You're bringing up past trauma from your brain about you, how you made your mom feel and how you did this.
Oh,
of course
wow.
It's going to give you anxiety.
So yep. So this is not a major spoiler. I'm sure they've seen this online at least. But in episode five, the one that just aired, Rue gets into a massive blowout over drugs with her little sister and her mother. And watching that scene, I was
killed, dead, bro.
Like literally, like it was horrific. And fuck me, dude. Like they watched that show. My mom and my sister watched that show. And they texted me before that episode came on, and they said, "Hey, like, we don't think it's a good idea that you watch the episode, this episode tonight."
I also know someone, you all know this person, who refuses to watch it because this person's afraid that it'll send them into some sort of spiral about wanting to do drugs or being afraid of the effect.
I purposely don't watch it.
Mike literally almost forced me to watch it when he was in Laguna. He's like, "You should watch it." I'm like, "Nah, I want to like keep my."
He
called me next day. He's like, "So you watch it? Blah blah blah. Watch it, watch it." I'm like, "Bro, fucking watch it.
It's just so heavy."
And I literally told him, "I want to keep. I'm in a good mental space."
Yeah, it's heavy.
I know what the show is sort of about.
Right.
I have to be in a very specific mood to be able to watch that show.
Yeah, I won't watch it. I watched a few episodes just because of the art. Because people are like, "Yo, you have to watch it for the art." So I watched it. Well done. That cast is amazing. The everything they do is great. I'm just a huge advocate on like, dude, the eyes are the windows to your soul. Whatever you're focusing on here makes your soul feel that type of way. At night, I play Friends or Seinfeld. I want to laugh before I go to bed. I wake up, I want to do something exciting. I want to put my intentions on something good. And I said this to Mike, and I hope this doesn't come off a bad way. If I'm not doing drugs and I'm not reaping the benefits of it, why the fuck am I putting myself through the heartache of it?
Right.
My dad, and I told him this on my vlog, and I'll bring it up here. My dad, when I was a kid, I asked him once about drugs. And my dad was like, "No, fucking stay away from them, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "All right, before we talk about this, get in the car with me. I want to take you somewhere." And he took me to a very bad neighborhood with a lot of his employees that he hired were there. And he hires people that just came out of prison that want to start a new life because nobody wants to hire them. He hires addicts. He hires people to give them another chance in life. And he goes, "You know, so-and-so," I'll use the name Sam, for example. He goes, "You know, Sam," he goes, "Do you remember he did this, this, and that?" And I go, "Yeah." So we sat with Sam's brother who did drugs still. And I talked to his mom. Mm. And so, like, I think it's very important for kids to be shown this, but not focus on this. Mm. Know that it's wrong. Every kid's going to want to touch the fire.
That's what I'm saying. Remove the ignorance in a digestible way. I mean, I didn't know this world existed, dude. I didn't know until I met him. And it is dark. It's dark and it's very real.
Isn't it wild, like, once again, to get into, like, another set of things that, like, only certain people can relate to or truly comprehend that world exists right beneath our horizon.
But
like, bro, and is otherworldly comparatively to the world, to the life we live. Like, bro, the shit that goes on, the stories of war that these people go through on a daily basis, that I went through on a daily basis. You're the novel brain, the brain that doesn't understand that would never be able to even begin to comprehend what that life is like.
But it's, like you said, disturbing. There's so many, the numbers are so huge in the United States.
Can't ignore
it's
it
no
anymore.
Longer. It's no longer like, "Oh, I don't know anybody." It's literally, it's affected every single
person in this room, every single person watching this episode of Impulsive right now has a family member, a friend, a teacher, someone who is a victim of this epidemic. And so, like, yo, I'm personally willing to try some new shit to see what works with the kids, especially. Mm-hmm. And if that means they need Zendaya and they need Drake and they need Sam Levinson and they need the right music and the right actors around it to bring that story home, then fucking let's give it a shot, bro. Mm-hmm. Because whatever we've been doing hasn't been working.
I make public jokes all the time about how you bring up your book. I think this is an ongoing joke.
Yeah.
And I talked to you about this off camera, but I kind of wanted to bring it up here since we're talking about this. There's somebody very close to me. You guys all met this person. And you sent this person the last 3 pages of your book. I know this person. Like my soul, I know this person deep. I've never seen affection come out of this person this way. Their shirt was wet from crying. And I go, "There's no way." I thought they were fucking with me. Like, "There's no way." That person goes, I finally understand my father. And the way she like broke down, I was like, "Damn, bro." Like, she, for 20 years of her life, she was trying to figure this situation out. She read 3 pages of your book and she understood your point of view. And she couldn't patch that relationship with her father. So like, I kind of want to take back all the jokes, and I know and I'm gonna say more in the future, obviously. But I truly, with all my heart, bro, like I could not believe what your book did to that person. Now I get why you bring it up every day.
Why you bring it up every second?
Every second.
Well, they called me, and that person called me right after, and I mean, I'm always touched by those stories, and honestly, like every day, it's hundreds and hundreds of messages from people like, "Yo, you made me stop shooting up. You made me understand why my mom killed herself. You made me understand what it's like to be a mental health sufferer or substance abuse person," and like, it's just wild, bro. It's wild. It's been the biggest blessing that I've ever been given was the opportunity to put that out into the world.
I feel like we're all on really, really good vibes of like creating stuff that's actually good for
us. We're all going there. All of us are going there right now. And by the way, that is about to be the launch pad for everything I do for the rest of my, like for the second book, for my speaking, for like.
Because you feel better doing it. It makes sense. Oh, I had a conversation with Logan about this. I said, if I died right now, nothing that I created was worth it.
I heard you say that.
And that made me really sad. I go, man, if I died and I had to look down and see what I left this earth, I go, I left a lot of shit clickbait. And some fucking boring ass videos. I go, so now my videos start out with a story that I feel very close to my heart.
I love that.
And then it'll parlay to a group of friends talking and discussing that shit.
It's dope.
I think you also should create a body of work, mm-hmm. like he did. And yeah. I was envious after he wrote his book because I had the same realization about 8 months ago, George. I was fucking high at a restaurant in Puerto Rico, probably drunk too. And I was like, dude, if I died right now, really, what have I left behind? A fight with Floyd, maybe some fucking vlogs, a diss track on my brother. Like, it ain't shit. It really is ain't shit. And so I underwent this body of work, this project, and when I finished it, it was like a fucking weight was lifted off my shoulders because I finally had made purpose. Something that I'm proud of, yeah. That I'm really, really, really proud of. And by the way, I can't wait to release it. I don't know how I'm gonna just drop this bomb that is my life on the world. Like, how do you do that? How do
you put a billboard up? It made it even scarier, dude. Like, it's nuts. It's wild, bro.
Like, how do you do that?
It's like, yo, here, basically, and it, very much for you, how it was for me, you're literally gonna say, here is my life. Take it from me. And give me your reaction to it. You're giving them your life from a whole however many months. You weren't doing this and that. You weren't doing this mm-mm. and this was your life. You are handing 8 or so months over to the general population. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's fucking
scary.
But
it feels, for us too.
It feels so good.
That was a long time of hard work. I remember we did like a full 24-hour shoot, bro. It took forever to get to where we needed to go. I was like, oh, this is fucking insane.
I dragged all my friends into this project. I dragged every person I knew, friend, comrade, ally into this project. I pulled every string I had, every ounce of life force in my body. I put it in this project. It's called.
Wait, no. Oh my God, yeah. I was gonna say, no, are like, we actually doing this?
He shows his tattoo.
Yo,
I'm just excited.
I couldn't have been happier to be a part of it. I mean, bro, it brought us to the extents of the earth, like to the bounds of our minds. I mean, dude, like me and you were having horrible breakdowns and our friend, like all as a result of this thing. We've had love, we had fights, we had Iceland, we had Germany, we had every thing.
Is this where we become a little unrelatable? Because I love to encourage, and I think every person can use some form of expression in their lives.
Sure.
And if there's any takeaway from this story, like having done this thing that I'm really proud of, literally changed my life. I found myself. I'm 26 years old. I finally know who I am. I
love dude, that, how dude. Funny is I that? We're all on the same that, fucking path.
I love that. Dude.
I tweeted out. I go, if anybody's having anxiety that they're like 21 or 25, they have no idea what they're doing. I go, I'm 29 and I just figured out what the fuck I'm doing.
What you want
like, I was like, oh, okay, I like this. Stand-up's pretty fun. Like, it's just so, that's what I love about life. And I feel like people need to get more into that. Like, how boring would it be if we had to do the same fucking thing? And by the way, I know it sounds stupid, but I just found out a routine, it starts out with rut.
Maybe because
I'm dyslexic.
It kind of starts with root, but.
Root.
Can I just say this one thing?
Well, now I'm in a rut.
The crux of what we were just talking about and all of it was true, but allow us not to denigrate or discount the importance of this program. of this show that we have, whether or not we have a massive life-changing purpose project that we're working on at the same time. The reaction to this impulsive podcast is
I should have maybe mentioned this.
Insane.
Yeah, I agree. I'm
wait, what
really,
are you guys talking about?
This show as a body of work. This show I'm proud of this show.
The conversations
really
that we have on this show. George, you're
the only thing that we were kind of like, I mean, for me, this is the thing that I was this made me become who I am, bro. In the beginning, I was watching podcasts when I was trying so fucking hard to be what I want, and it was like, and this kind of helped me be like, all right, dude, I need to chill out. Because,
but it's like we get so used to doing the show once a week or once every however much we film it, and it's like you lose grasp and track of how important this fucking show and the impact that it makes on people. I mean, we have conversations with people every event we go to, every time we walk down the street. And I swear the majority of the conversation or the majority of the stuff is we love the fucking podcast. Yeah. It's generally that outweighs vlogs, books, everything, you know? So it's a wild thing that we've put together.
I was the team captain for the Lakers thing, and I got to be on the court and shake hands with the captains and stuff like that. And the lady said when they announced my name, a lot of people were screaming, I'm impulsive!
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. I felt like I was on like a hit TV show.
Well, like and subscribe.
Heavy show today so far, and I don't know where we are on time, but George smokes weed, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. You told me the other day that you believe that if
you could say it, if I'll cut
that
it
if ant that if ants were to team up, that they could kill humans.
Okay, so I thought
you said that.
Yeah, so I was smoking weed. By the way, I appreciate you as a friend, like telling people I was very high when I said this.
But ants are a team. They're only a team. What do you mean? They are already one.
You've never
leader.
Seen one ant. There's always.
No, I think you guys are missing the fact.
No, I think he means the entire population.
Is that what you mean?
Like, I was thinking one day, like, I was just high. We're sitting out, okay, and I saw a group of ants, and I go, hey, these motherfuckers could fuck us up, bro. I go, if they all were like, yo, let's put down this bread for a second and fuck this dude up, like, all of them come, I think they could get us, bro.
You. Yes,
I go, Georgie. I go, Georgie. You're in trouble.
So, what we're trying to say is, guys, don't do drugs. You don't need it.
Dude, it's so funny. It's so funny. Besides the fact that weed made me extremely creative, yo, that plant sucks.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that plant sucks.
It's just.
I had another wake up call when I was traveling from A to B to C within Africa, intercontinental, international, all the things, and at the end of my trip. I wasn't tired. I was just getting started. I still have a whole nother leg of places to go. And when we were traveling for this project that we had mentioned earlier, I remember constantly being exhausted of traveling. I'd get home to my bed in Puerto Rico like half alive. Be like, I made it. And I thought the weed was the thing getting me through the travel because I could smoke on planes and you know, go fall asleep. No. It exhausts you from A to Z and makes you less capable and a less effective version of yourself.
They legalized it for medical use for people that need it.
Mm.
Cancer patients that are going through major pain and just want a little bit of edge taken off.
If
you disrespect it, or you abuse it or overuse it, you're going to see the effects of it.
That's the double-edged sword. Because, by the way, you know, I was smoking, dude. I was smoking. Non-stop. I don't have the self-control.
Non-stop.
People like, you know, one joint a day. Nah, you got more?
And it's like, also, it's just like
wax.
Any other drug. You build up a tolerance.
Yeah.
So you need more and more.
I didn't know how bad I was until Mike was like, yo, you just smoked. And I didn't even know the name of it. He said it. He was like, said this thing. I just smoked it. Not like it was bad, but he
smokes his big log that's filled with also with wax and coated in keef.
Oh my god!
By himself,
I'm
like, well,
I
yeah,
the whole thing and I barely felt it.
And
bro.
We're sitting like, there, and we're like watching Euphoria, and he's like, wait, is the Roadrunner gonna come out soon? I'm like, George,
there's ants running up your
leg.
Yeah,
like,
I was like, hey, dude, you got ants, bro.
Yeah. So we're gonna sue Floyd Mayweather.
Yo, what's good with this?
Are we? What's good with the conversation about this? Last night you were doing one of these. Are we saying that or what?
He hasn't sued him yet.
Oh, got it.
We're still talking.
Got it.
There's still conversations that are happening.
Well, he got sued. You know, he got sued.
He's been sued multiple times
for the same fight. Yo, something's going on, and there's one side that's very clear to see is being fucking shady. You know why he got sued? I watched a video on it. There's a full breakdown. He is the promotional arm of his fights. It's why, in part, he makes so much money, because whereas a normal promotional company will take 30%, he is that. And so oftentimes for his fights, before the tickets can go on sale to the public, or like right as they go on sale, he'll buy a whole wing, a whole section, and then he'll sell them at a higher price marked up so he can make, you know.
Like all the floor seats. He takes all of them.
All of them. 3, 4, 5X. Yep. And it's part of his business. You know, I actually find nothing wrong with that. It's smart. And so with this particular lawsuit, he had an investor pay $1.4 million in total for this section, and the investor was promised that the seats would sell at, a 7 to 8X multiple, and, you know, he expected a return on his investment. And sure enough, he didn't get his initial investment back. He's strung along. He gets like $100K here and there, strung along, not getting paid. Now his investment allegedly is being rolled into Floyd's alleged fight with Manny Pacquiao. And so the investors being strung along on this thing, and eventually, like us, it's like, yo, we're simply not getting paid in full. Like, we've been fucking dragged along for way too long now. And this guy finally filed a lawsuit against Floyd Mayweather. So that's the one that's actually active and pending. And then here we are.
There's another one pending, too.
Another one?
Yeah.
For the cash deal?
Yeah.
The one, the Dubai cash deal?
Correct.
Dude, he is fucking broke, huh? What?
Or he just does what? But can I ask you guys a question? What part of his identity and like aura and like the visual nature that is Floyd Mayweather makes you think, wow, this dude's gonna really rush to hit those deliverables dates?
Wow, no, the dude, they like, call him Money Mayweather,
bro.
But
bro,
where's your money?
He's walking around in women's Fendi clothing, taking you know, no disrespect. He's one of the greatest fighters of all time. But like, bro, I have a rule.
I just see you bumping to one.
Oh, I'm
this.
Fucked, bro. He's gonna do the same.
Sweating.
As you. He's like, what?
Sweating.
I start sweating.
Like, just. And he's like, you need to go.
No, but
here's
but
a towel.
He's like the crack pipes. But I have a rule. I have a rule, bro. Generally speaking, like, if I see a motherfucker like in Dior, a repeated pattern Dior or Fendi shirt with the icy watch, I'm either getting beat on an NFT project or I'm not getting paid. Like what about that aura? Dior, Fendi, Prada, like, which one of those things made you feel like, yo, he's gonna write the check? The dude
a fucking contract.
Nah, he don't give a
shit about
that.
A legal contract.
He don't care about
that. You don't care.
He got Fendi to buy.
News to me.
He got to go shopping.
So, question: what happens now? Do you guys get more than what you were supposed to get? Because that's kind of cool.
Less. That's the worst.
You get less.
Yeah. Tell you who makes it out of this with a W.
Your lawyers.
Yeah.
The legal system.
He owns 30% of their company.
The legal system's
tough. Yeah. I don't even want to give this advice, so I'm not even. I thought about it. I'm not saying anything.
No, don't do it.
It's sad. It favors the wealthy.
Yeah.
And the people that understand the law.
You don't say.
Just like the tax code. I mean, everything does. The world is built for the rich to get richer. Make no mistake. You know what I'm saying?
So therefore, you can learn it and you can take advantage of it. And there are many people that do.
I really do think I'm going to make a run for president when I'm 35. Like, dead ass.
What would be your first policy you want?
I don't know. I have to do more research. But I think I could do some seriously good shit that is so necessary. And in my head, feels inevitable, but someone has to do it.
While I see you doing it, I think 35 is early.
Is there any chance... And honestly, I think there should be that you would consider me as a running mate.
No.
Why?
Because you can't run.
And you're not as Mike.
Because you're a bum ass ankle.
That's so true.
But head of mental health and
yeah.
wellness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Like really
yeah,
making yeah. a change, we could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Fuck y'all. I'm running against you. I believe that the influencer space creators, YouTubers, TikTokers, Twitch streamers may have had enough with cancel culture. I think they're starting to fight back a little bit, as the world is. We're seeing it with Rogan. Mm. We're seeing it with a lot of things. With Portnoy, we're seeing it with a lot of people. I went to a roast last week, the roast of Bryce Hall. And I saw things said by creators and influencers that I could not fucking believe we're coming out of the mouths of creators and influencers. The same ones that are generally a little bit scared to be saying anything. Do you think we're getting to a point? Are we reaching the tipping point where we may start being able to say what we want to fucking say again? Like, bro, Adele went on stage at the Brits to accept the gender neutral Artist of the Year award. There was men's and women's classes, female artists, men, male artists.
She identifies as gender neutral?
No, she doesn't. Oh. Way worse than that. Way worse. She identifies as a straight woman and is proud.
How dare her? What a bitch.
And is proud to be a straight woman. There wasn't a lot of outrage online, but there was some. There were people on Twitter.
How do you make that mistake?
Brother, that said that it is unacceptable.
I'm sorry.
I don't know where she has the audacity to think that.
She said, I am a woman and I'm proud to be a woman. And they were pissed.
They didn't cut that?
And someone tweeted, the only people that are able to say that they're proud to be women are men.
No. No. No, it's odd. We're in an odd place. We're in an odd place.
A girl who can write music like that.
Precarious times, ladies and gentlemen.
Probably Mike, but the Florida bill is like, say no gay. I didn't look into it, so explain it to me.
Don't say gay.
What does that mean?
It is a law being passed in Florida that does not allow the teaching of homosexuality in classrooms. It basically exonerates or omits the push for homosexual rights completely.
That's crazy.
Yes, but then there is a part of it that is up for discussion, which is, I believe it does not allow it to be taught at an elementary level.
I'm very confused. What are you talking about?
Okay.
So are they're not teaching?
There's a law. I believe the law passed. Yeah.
Wait, were they teaching? I'm confused. What's going on?
Well, so generally speaking, yeah. I mean, teachers have the right to kind of decide their curriculum. And if that curriculum, or to an extent, decide what they're going to talk about in the classroom, if that curriculum, even in a loose conversation, involves the discussion of gay freedom, that is usually their choice. And in Florida, is now no longer allowed.
The Florida Senate Education Committee passed a controversial bill on Tuesday that would bar school districts from encouraging classroom discussion about sexual orientation or gender identity. The Parental Rights in Education Bill, commonly referred to the Don't Say Gay Bill by its critics, would apply to such topics in primary grade levels as well as in cases where the discussions are deemed not age appropriate.
That scares me, the last part.
Well, I have to say this. Why are they even talking about sex that early?
So
I
that's
feel like that's a parent's conversation.
It's because it's happening.
No, I think they should teach you about sex. I think that's appropriate. But I think moving forward to how they should be feeling, it should be a parent's conversation. I don't know why the fuck they're even intervening with that.
This one's tough. This one is tough, dude. I don't have
but
like
dude,
a dramatic.
Six.
No, I know. That's why I don't have a dramatic.
But people are. There are people that are transitioning and discussing this at 6 years old.
Nah, we've talked
now.
About this before.
I'm just saying.
I'm not a supporter of that. To be honest with you,
I'm not saying this or that.
What are you supporting?
I just can't.
There's so much talking going on in this world about so many crazy situations that are so hot.
That they're young. Wait until at least they're in the middle school.
I cannot imagine that a 6 or an 8 year old is ready to make a life committing journey decision like their gender identity or their at that age.
I disagree.
Really?
No, he's not saying they can't.
I think there are cases where maybe it's so obvious that this person is
right.
And like go for it.
Right.
It's sometimes maybe, I mean, it would be a fucking shame to be 13 and be like, ooh, I've made a mistake by taking hormones since I was 6. but I don't
That's
know.
Crazy.
I don't know. Something about like intuition and like an innate feeling is notable. Perhaps.
No. I hear you. And by the way, we're having a conversation here. Like this is, and this is great.
I think not having this conversation is would
more
be
dangerous.
A fucking shame.
For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. More dangerous. Absolutely. Why can't we?
I'll be vocal about shit. Yeah. I don't really care about this shit.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you how I feel. I think it's none of the fucking faculty's business. Truly. I don't think it's your business. That's my kid. I'm sending him to school. Teach him what he needs to learn about literature because I didn't get that. Teach them how to read and do math.
I imagine that's what the bill kind of was passing
exactly.
under
when
that premise.
When they get to that age where they start being curious, okay? And also, here's another thing. I'll add even this, right? We'll even add that if the teacher starts focusing and she notices something, maybe have a discussion with the parents
first.
I
like that.
Hey, you know what? I noticed that Timmy's a little bit more involved with Anthony and Phil. Like, I think maybe we should, and if you want to bring it to school, I want the parents there. I don't think another child should be talked to from another, because remember, when you send your kids to school, you say this, whatever she says, listen to it. So this kid's going into it being like, okay, whatever you're saying, I'm listening to it. It's very confusing for children. If you want to bring that up, be my guest.
It's interesting. This is where this is going to get really interesting. We are in a super progressive era, obviously, right now. Yeah. And that progression has transcended, obviously, to the developmental phase of humans and young adults. And it's going to be really interesting to see how Gen Z, especially like the younger end of Gen Z, how does this actually play out? What is effective? What's not? What do we do right? What do we do wrong?
I have a theory of this, and I've never said this online, but I'm going to the first time. I think we're going to get in a very dangerous place of rebelling. I think, you know how when you have really strict parents and they're always like ready to punish you, then they rebel. They'll literally do whatever the fuck.
Who's rebelling?
I grew up with
because
a
now
few
the
friends,
kids
right?
aren't being told what they can. Do you know what I'm saying?
So they're like scared to make decisions, bro. Think about it. We're watching people online talking like us. We're talking about like, yo, we're scared of fucking freedom of speech now. We can't say anything because we're scared of learning because of me being like ignorant and not knowing. Like, for example, the Cake Town or whatever the fuck it is, right? Like, I felt comfortable enough to know, but like, oh, I don't know what the fuck Cake Town is. I want to ask you about
it.
But if this was a sexual thing, I would never say that because I'd be too scared if I sound ignorant. And I offended some fucking guy.
Well, dude, I mean, to be honest, that's what we're here for. This is an open forum podcast, an honest discussion between people. And I personally don't find the problem in ignorance if it's truly ignorance. Like, I'm here to learn and ask questions and have conversations. And like, yo, God strike me down if I can't do that. That fucking sucks. I don't want to be in that world.
It's when you make a statement that says, this is what I believe or this is something, and that's where it becomes dangerous.
I'm asking questions in
discussion. That's why I said it. I saw this happening on the news, and I was like, I don't know anything about it.
Well, there's another news story too. And before, David, you tripped him twice.
Twice.
Before we move on to George, I do want to say, I have no issue with Cake Town either. Because honestly, that's a place I personally would like to visit.
Are we even open about it? Fuck that place.
Cake Town's great. Maybe
I picture a bunch
maybe
of people
last
running
thing.
Around
I could do this all day. Government crack pipes.
Shut the fuck up.
No, hold on. No, on this fucking show, we will have this conversation.
It's a real thing.
So look, I didn't think it was a real thing when
Very
Evan
real.
Sent the thing in the group chat. I thought this was a meme about Biden. No way. Is a government giving out crack pipes to crackheads so they don't shoot up and use crack pipes instead?
This has been happening in Europe countries, mostly like the northern Nordics that they call them. And it's actually proven to be helpful, effective, and lower numbers.
Reducing
disease is one of them, because the sharing of crack of broken pipes and dirty pipes is one thing. But also, the Netherlands, Germany, I think a lot of countries in that region have had safe injection sites forever. You can get off the streets. You can get a fresh fucking needle. You don't have to use
I'm sorry. This is my issue with this. Just facilitating drug use.
Let it discuss.
Well, okay.
So what's happening is I believe that numbers have gone down in terms of financial numbers and in terms of people that are doing it. Because of the crime, because of the industry that is needed to protect this, take care of these people, put them in housing, etc. They figured out that if you facilitate it and help in a way which is making it a little safer, a little bit off the streets, right? We don't want crack pipes around our children or stuff like that.
Well, they're still going to go there. If Biden gives them to them, they're still going to end up. That's the part. There's some flaws with this situation. So they're providing these in an attempt to reduce the transmission of disease. There is one part of this program that I like. They're providing Narcan.
What was that?
For people who don't know what Narcan is, it is a drug that is administered during an overdose. It is incredibly, incredibly important right now as fentanyl continues to creep into the heroin supply in the United States.
So they're giving you something to help
counteract.
You are literally in the middle of a overdose. You are dying.
Your spit's coming out. Yeah, you're dying.
How do you inject yourself?
Someone else does.
Somebody else.
Somebody else.
It's like an EpiPen. So like a police officer or a firefighter or first responder would come and say, oh, I recognize this. I give them this shot, and you've saved life.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that's one part of it. And by the way, like, it's so fucked up to imagine this, but like, if you're around people who are using drugs, like, or if you're using and you're watching the show, like, you need to understand how to use Narcan, and you need to have some nearby. I hate to even have to put that into the world, but once again, this is where we're living.
Question,
the number one fucking
stupid.
Killer,
is,
bro.
Is this something they could use as a drug?
No, absolutely not. Okay. It just counteracts overdose, and I'm sure in some way it flushes the system of
because what I don't want to do is they're like, oh, we figured out a way to make this
guy's house. No, it doesn't.
Is
no,
the
it
idea that providing the paraphernalia would eventually lead to a complete removal of drugs
so
from
here's
their
where
life?
Limited,
yes.
Here's where it's fucked up. No, here's where it's fucked up. From what I understand, beyond just the transmission of disease, the idea is that providing, forgive me if I'm wrong, but providing crack pipes will encourage users not to inject, and that the ingestion through smoking is a safer
less
ingestion
lethal.
Pattern and method than injection.
Straight to your vein.
But from someone who comes from that world, the idea that someone is going to say, oh, wow, now that I have this crack pipe, I don't think I'm going to shoot heroin today. That would never happen. They're two vastly different methods of ingestion. And these people are not saying, okay, today, since I have this clean crack pipe, instead of shooting up dope, which I'm addicted to, I'm going to smoke crack. That doesn't,
yeah, but people are smoking the pills. It's the same thing.
Here, I'm going to say something, and it's either going to sound really intelligent or really
I think
stupid.
Before you say that, I think Logan's going to give us he has something.
I think
there.
It's just. I think
it says
conversation.
It says this is false, so maybe not.
No. It's been on every fucking.
No,
thing.
The Biden administration is not funding the distribution of crack pipes. It's false. Blah, blah, blah. 75-page document outlining information about the grant program says funds may be used to purchase, quote-unquote, equipment and supplies to enhance harm reduction efforts, including safe smoking kits and supplies.
Yeah.
And Narcan. So
they're
okay.
Just saying crack pipes because...
Okay, so now, makes the boys, we have an even bigger discussion. That's the even more interesting discussion. This, if that's true.
I could have sworn I saw this on a huge publication.
Same.
HHA's Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs also clarified that the federal agency is not distributing crack pipes in a tweet on Tuesday.
So if that's true, now.
They were never part of the kit. It was inaccurate reporting.
So not just reporting, the running of that reporting, rampant memes, Twitter. I mean, God forbid the right had a field day with this fucking story. Field day. With memes of Biden giving his son crack pipes
for
Christmas.
It's hilarious. Well, this is where I would argue, like, yo, use your fucking brain for 1 second. That's why I thought it was a joke when Evan first sent. That's ridiculous.
So they're not doing this.
They're probably providing a kit that has some sort of paraphernalia, but it's not a fucking crack pipe.
So it's a pipe that people smoke crack out of.
No, okay, so are they doing this stuff to like...
Now I'm going, I'm digging in.
Nah. Okay, so here's my thoughts on it, if there is that way that they're going to go. To me, and again, this is going to come out pretty sharp shooting, but if I'm standing from the outside looking in, to me it seems like they just gave them the tools to keep doing drugs without dying.
Bro,
like
they are not giving out crack pipes. This is mind blowing.
How is it mind blowing?
No,
we brought this up on this show without doing hard documented proof.
Fuck.
Where's Dylan?
this government,
where is he?
This government
LA.
Crack pipe story will never work out for me. It doesn't matter what show I bring it up on. It will never ever fucking work out. But we did debunk some bullshit. So for people watching, the government isn't giving out crack pipes.
I saw it for a week straight.
We're Mythbusters,
bro. Just think, though.
No.
Okay.
All right, fine.
because you can't identify as a straight woman. So nothing seems out of range now.
No!
Who
no!
gives you the audacity to do that?
No!
That's the loudest ever.
Yeah, you just set a record.
No! Yes, you can.
No, I know you can.
Yes, you fucking can.
I know you can, but I'm just saying.
No, Mike. If it sounds fucking dumb.
So this is what we're doing. We got to start putting our fucking foot down even more.
It's dumb. You. I realized this from you. You told me this.
Well, I'm not
playing in the game.
I know. I don't play it.
I'm not doing it.
I don't play the
anymore.
Game. Fuck it.
If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
Shoot it.
Shoot the fucking duck. It's a duck is what I was saying. And so like, yo, just use your fucking brain for 1 second. Like common sense. You know, you said it's becoming less and less common, which I do agree with. But I still would like to believe there's a sliver.
Yep, you say
there's
that.
There's a sliver.
Just wait till you meet your first toaster oven. Walking down the street.
It's going to happen, by the way. I know it's going to fucking happen. I know it's going to happen. And I'm going to say, they're going to come up to me. I'm going to go, hey, what's up? And they're like, hi. You know, I'm a toaster.
This story will never not confuse me.
Oh, no, no, George.
It will never not confuse me.
It confuses us too, George.
But also, it's like, who's sitting around being like, I need to know everyone. When did we give a fuck? Bro, I skipped that shit when I was at my doctor's.
Need to know what? Need to know what? No. They'll tell you they're a toaster.
Oh, they'll be proud.
I'm not searching for how you identify.
What will happen is this. You will see them and you will say, hey, what's up, man? And they'll say, what the fuck did you just label me as? And out of nowhere, you'll see their temperature setting, toast setting, go from 1 to 10. And all of a sudden,
dark.
A small piece of burnt toast will shoot out of their mouth and you will know.
They're popping off.
You literally have reached the apex of this shit society that we fucking live in right now.
Oh, God.
I promise you that day will come. When people are identifying as inanimate objects, I swear to God. And by the way, they're going to clip this. Me, right here, right now, saying this. And then I'm going to have to do what I did earlier and just be like, no, I'm not playing your game.
No, they're going
to
say it's the best work ever.
Or just lean into
Wow. No, sure. You're setting records today, buddy.
Or just lean into it and be like, you want to cancel me? How dare you try to cancel a pine tree? You can't cancel a pine. Just lean into it. Just lean into it.
My boy is sharp.
I'm a pine tree.
My boy is
sharp. You're going to cancel me? I'm a pine tree. I can say whatever the fuck
I
want.
Cancel a pine
After
tree.
Christmas, we can cancel a pine tree.
You can't cancel a fucking coniferous green. We're done.
Last thing. This is quick, by the way. I feel 10 times better than when I walked in today. Oh. I have to tell you guys that. I love you guys. Right. Honestly, this is my therapy. This is my favorite thing on the fucking planet. And I was thinking about it the other day. No matter what is going on in our lives, I said this to you, no matter what we're going through, no matter how weird of a day we feel like we're having, when we sit down on this fucking show, it's like it all goes away. We just settle right into it, and it's like nothing ever happened, bro. It's wild.
Yeah, I like this show.
Hey, thanks for inviting me on the show,
man. Yeah, but we should keep doing it for a while.
I would like that.
I'm working on it.
Thanks, guys, for watching this episode of Impulsive. We love you. We really do love you. Your continued attention means a lot to us. So hit that subscribe button. We'll be back next week for another sick episode. Take it easy. Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.